ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. There's no sense in me being modest about it. I'm just not much of a dancer. Still, when folks talk about tripping the light fantastic, I gotta admit I qualify. Because I invariably trip, I usually light, and I'm always fantastic.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again transcribed another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr.
I'm Doc Clemens, a friend of Will's. I've seen Will dance, and... well, let me put it this way. You could never call his dancing a real contribution to the culture of Elyria. But then, Elyria's cultural growth was stunted a long time ago when old Flint Stalker was forced to close down the Princess Theater. Time was when Flint used to book in some real entertainment in the Princess. Everything from vaudeville to Gilbert and Sullivan up as high as Grand Opera. But the Depression took care of all that. I guess it's been nearly 20 years since Flint nailed the door shut, and there's a whole generation of Illyrians growing up who never set foot in the Princess Theater. I just know Flint Stalker'd give anything to open those doors again.
Be with you in about six words.
I haven't got six words to wait, Will.
You just waited them. Well, hello, Flint. Glad to see you.
You spoiled my entrance, young man. And a well-rehearsed entrance at that.
Want to go out and come back in again?
No, all the spontaneity would be lost. Isn't Maggie around? I had hoped to play to a packed house.
She's over at Retta Farrell's, covering the women's club meeting.
That reminds me, I must contact Retta. She'd want a block of seats, I know.
Now, what about this well-rehearsed entrance of yours, Flint?
Will, I'm opening the princess again.
Why, Flint, that's wonderful.
That's the first time I've said it out loud. I'm opening the princess again. I never thought I'd be able to say those words, Will. I never expected to have the chance.
I know it means an awful lot to you, Flint. I'm sure glad for you.
Now, you'll want the details. I've noted them all down. Here it is. I don't know if you can read my writing.
Well, let's see if I can. The new review. The 15th of this month, curtain at 8:30, the Princess Theater.
It's playing on Broadway now, you know. We'll get the road company show, of course. But Mr. Anthony tells me that our new review will be every bit as good as Broadway's new review. Mr. Anthony manages the show.
Mm-hmm. How long are you planning for, Flint?
One night. That's what's known in the trade as a one-night stand, shortened sometimes to one-nighter.
You couldn't shorten it much more than that.
Just think, Will. Illyria's first opening night in nearly 20 years. There's an excitement about it, an aura. You watch. When we break this news, this town will go out of its mind in anticipation.
You think we ought to risk it?
You've never seen Illyria reach a fevered pitch, Will, until you've seen them in the flush of the first night performance. Why, in the old days, this was a real show town. I brought them all here. The Barrymores, the Drews, the Jersey Lily, and later on, the Lunts. I've still got all the playbills, Will. You'll have to come up to the theater and see them.
I'd like to, Flint.
You'll be coming to the theater this afternoon to meet Mr. Anthony. He'll want to arrange for all the advertising with you. Probably some other printing. Tickets, playbills, throwaways.
Funny, isn't it, Flint? That after all these years and without much notice, the show would finally be coming to Elyria.
My dear Will, I have worked tirelessly with the booking offices in the city. I've begged and implored them to give us another try. And this is the fruit of my efforts. The new review.
And then if the reception for this one is good, why, you think others will start including Elyria on their tours.
I'm certain of it. I'm just as sure as I can be, Will. This represents a rebirth of legitimate theater in Elyria. Return to cultural growth. A brave new era. Do you mind taking this down, Will? I believe I'm making quite an excellent direct quote.
Thank you.
said, and after that, old Flint Farrelly swept out of here on his way to see Gate Farrell about getting the license.
What license?
Well, you have to have a license from the city council to put on anything like this new review.
Oh.
That Flint. He's sure all tuned up about this thing, Maggie.
Oh, I know. Greta Farrell was in the midst of an impassioned plea before the women's club when Flint showed up there, thereby breaking bylaw 4B.
Which is?
No man shall be admitted to a meeting of the aforementioned Elyria Women's Club except by written invitation.
Well, that's silly.
That's what Flint said when the sergeant-at-arms reminded him of the bylaw. Anyway, he pulled Greta to one side and whispered to her, and they danced around a little bit. And Flint left, leaving Greta to tell the club the news. There wasn't a dry eye in the house when she got through.
The women cried?
Hysteria. They tossed out the rest of the agenda in a rising vote and set to work on ticket committees.
Well, I'll be darned. Flint told me the town would go to pieces over the idea, but I didn't believe him. Why do you suppose it is?
Well, a lot of things, really. They all love Flint, and bless his heart, this is a real break for him, booking a show on the Princess after all these years.
Yeah, well, no, I'm real fond of Flint myself, and I'm happy for him. But I've got to admit that I didn't shed a single tear.
By some happy coincidence, you're not the Elyria Women's Club. And you also may not know what a ham Greta Farrell is.
Yeah, she's always trying to reorganize a little theater group, isn't she?
Uh-huh. And one of the reasons she can't is because Greta always insists on playing the lead and everything herself. The last time the little theater failed here was because Greta stood her ground and wouldn't let anyone else play the lead.
That was just a year or so ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. So we didn't do Mr. Roberts.
I remember now. Well, sir, if Flint's got the women's club galvanized into action, I guess he's riding a sure thing. I just didn't know we had that many theater lovers in Elyria.
Well, some of them will go to see the show, but all of them will go to see each other. You don't seem to understand, Will. This is the chance of a lifetime to buy new clothes.
Oh, that.
Stand out on the highway tomorrow morning and count the cars heading for the city.
Well, I sure wish I could get excited about it. But I just keep asking myself, now why, after 20 years, would Elyria look like a good stop to a road company?
Maybe they just found it on the map.
Down this way, Will. Mr. Anthony is using one of the old dressing rooms as temporary headquarters. I guess you haven't been backstage much, have you?
No, this is real foreign territory to me, Flint.
I want to show you my theater. Maybe when you finish your business with Mr. Anthony, I'll take you on a conducted tour. She's a proud old princess.
With a proud consort.
So proud, Will. Oh, here we are. Mr. Anthony?
Yeah, come in.
After you, Will. This is my young friend from the Gazette, Mr. Anthony, Mr. Rogers.
Hello, Rogers.
Glad to know you, Mr. Anthony.
Just be seated, Will. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks.
How do you like it, Will?
Huh?
The chair. How does it seem?
Fine, Flint. Just fine.
The last person who sat in that chair was Alfred Lunt. I'll never forget it. He sat right there, facing Lynn Fontaine. That would be you, Mr. Anthony. Mm. And he said to her, "Darling, you're a superlative actress. I admire you. I adore you. But you never did get the hang of eye makeup."
Well, I'll be darned. Well, now, that's something to know, Flint.
Oh, I could tell you some memorable anecdotes. Hundreds of them.
Only maybe another time, huh? I'd like to talk to Rogers about the advertising.
Of course, and I have work to do myself. Look in on me later, Will. I'll probably be in my office. I'll want to show you around the Princess, you know. Mr. Anthony will tell you it's a magnificent theater. Just exactly what he's been looking for.
Yeah, it's great, Mr. Stocker.
You see, Will? Now, you two get down to business. I'll be in my office if you need me.
He's quite an old character, isn't he?
Yeah. Only don't take it too big about Alfred Lunt being the last person to sit in that chair. A carpenter from my crew named Hatch sat there not half an hour ago.
Flint said you might want some printing done, besides whatever ad you're taking.
We need tickets and some door-to-door throwaways.
How about playbills?
No, we won't need them, not for this kind of show. The names wouldn't mean anything, or the acts, for that matter. Here's an ad I roughed out.
Mm-hmm.
I got a budget, of course. I don't want to spend more than a couple of $100 for the whole deal. Tickets, the ad, throwaways.
Well, I think we can handle that. Now, just what kind of a show is this, Mr. Anthony? I know it's a new review, but suppose it was to do a little advanced story on it. How would you describe it?
Well, call it a class variety show. You know, songs, dances, funny sayings.
Flint says this is a road company of a Broadway show. I guess I could hang the story on that.
You're the writer. Hang it on anything you want to. I guess I'll want about 1,000 tickets. How soon can I have them?
Tomorrow morning, soon enough?
Yeah, that's good. Where's that seat plan now? Here it is. You can get the seat numbers off this. Last time I counted, balcony and all, the house seated 1,000.
Okay, if I take this along with me?
Go ahead.
How long you had this company on tour, Mr. Anthony?
Oh, a couple of months, I guess.
Where's it playing now?
Why, in the city. Why?
And you're coming to Elyria for one night on the 15th, and then where are you bound?
Say, what's with the questions? I buy a small load of advertising. I've got to make like a quiz program all of a sudden?
No, you don't have to. I'm just interested. We don't get very much legitimate theater here.
You don't get any.
Okay, we don't get any. So how come you decided to bring the new review here?
You know, I'm beginning to wonder myself. First, I got to hear the old guy's running commentary on who sat in what chair in his beloved old trap here. And now for you, I got to be an answer man.
Oh, I'll settle for just one answer. How come you decided to bring your show to Elyria?
In the city, I hear the old guy's on his knees trying to get a booking. So I can't lose much here in one night. I decide to bring the troupe in. Okay?
Yeah. That's okay.
Any more questions?
I can't think of any right now. Might have a few when I bring you your tickets back tomorrow, though.
Yeah. I'll bet you will.
Well, it's been an experience meeting you, Mr. Anthony.
I know what you mean, Rogers. I know just what you mean.
What'd you say that looked like, Doc?
Just a wild guess, but could it be a seating plan for the Prince's Theater?
Yeah, it could be. Only I'm talking about the pencil lines here that lead off the stage and down through this center row of seats.
Well, now, it might be the plan for a structure of some sort. On the other hand, there might just be pencil lines.
You know what I think it is?
Something besides pencil lines, obviously.
I think that's a rough plan for building a runway smack down the center of the Prince's Theater.
Well, maybe you're right. Although I can't imagine why anybody'd want to build a... Did you say a runway?
I did.
Oh. Well, when I was a young man, I was known to frequent certain theaters. Oh, my. And if memory serves me, a runway was standard equipment in only one type of theater.
Things haven't changed much, Doc.
Well, you're not by any stretch of the imagination of the opinion that old Flint Stalker has booked that kind of a show into the Prince's Theater.
I think it's a distinct possibility.
Flint wouldn't do it. I've known him for years.
Now, this isn't a question of knowing Flint. I don't think he's got any idea what kind of a show this new review is. I don't suppose this fella Anthony's told Flint any more about it than he'd tell me. By golly, he didn't want to tell me anything about the show.
Maggie told me you were pretty skeptical about the show. But son, you'll have to be awfully sure before you make any charges. Why, everybody in town I've talked to is planning to go. I mean men and women.
Yeah, I know that. And don't worry, I'll be just as sure as I can be. Or rather, I'll be just as sure as Mr. Anthony allows me to be.
We're busy out here, Rogers. I told the old man for you to leave the tickets in my office.
Yeah, Flint told me. I just thought I'd see what all the commotion in the theater was about.
I hope it isn't too noisy for you. If it is, you can always leave.
Oh, I'm fixing to leave. I just don't get a chance very often to see a runway built. Thought maybe I could hang my story on that.
I don't think so much of that angle.
Well, that's a funny thing, but I do. It just might pick up the ticket sale a lot if I could promise the folks a good rousing evening of burlesque.
You are listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to our story in just a moment, but first, This Friday night, hear parole file number 732, CBS Radio's 7th full-hour fact documentary on American life today. Hear, in his own words, the story of a paroled killer from the moment of his release after 22 years of imprisonment. Through his words and those of others intimately connected with the case, you'll gain new insight into America's system of parole. Remember, Friday night on CBS Radio, don't miss the vivid story of parole file number 732. CBS Radio newsman Eric Severide will provide the commentary. And now we continue with the second act of Rogers of the Gazette.
I know the licensing ordinance, Will. Any member of the council does.
And it says as plain as day in the ordinance that the council has the right to approve the content of any public show in Elyria. Now, isn't that right, Gate?
That's the letter of the law, but, Will, we don't exercise that very often. We haven't had the opportunity to for a good many years, I grant that, but Retta and I have known Flint Stocker for a good many years, too.
I'm not trying to hurt Flint. I told him a while ago, I'm not even trying to stop this show. I just think somebody ought to make darn sure what kind of a show it is.
You know, Flint was by just this morning. Ticket sales are going great, he tells me. My Retta's sold nearly 100 tickets herself, Will.
Yes, she has. And the women in the church circles are doing a fair job of selling tickets, too. Now, if you think the girls will go for burlesque...
I think you're getting excited about nothing. Here, Flint has a chance to open the doors of his theater again for the first time in 20 years, Will. I certainly wish him nothing but well.
Gates, you don't understand. I wish him nothing but well. I'd like to see him open those doors for good. But if I'm right, he stands a chance of getting them nailed shut forever.
You don't have any proof, Will.
I'm not the one who needs proof. Gate, I could be 100% wrong.
I think you are.
But if I'm right, the council and Flint are going to have to face the indignant wrath of the women of Elyria.
Will, you're wrong. I know you're wrong. Flint Stocker's an old theater man. And you make a big mistake if you think he's a fool. If I know anything, I know that this Anthony man couldn't pull the wool over old Flint's eyes.
Look, baby, you've always wanted to act. I'm giving you your big chance.
Well, I don't read you, Mr. Anthony. You want I should audition for this country boy?
Not exactly, Julie. I just want you to convince him we're not doing a burlesque show here tomorrow night.
When did we change the act?
We didn't change the act.
Mr. Anthony, in one word, I don't dig you.
But you're going to try, aren't you, Julie? Because if you don't, we may be in trouble.
How trouble?
Julie, I didn't exactly tell the old man that ours was a burlesque show. I got him and the rest of the town expecting legitimate theater tomorrow night. All except this Rogers.
So what's burlesque? Illegitimate theater?
You and I know it's art, Julie. But, well, maybe I just like to surprise the citizens, see? I don't tell them it is burlesque. I don't tell them it isn't.
So you really haven't been dishonest, have you, Mr. Anthony?
That's the idea. Now, we're just here for one night. We want a big house to show up. We take our money and go, and we don't come this way again.
If they don't like us, we don't like them. Is that it, Mr. Anthony?
Something like that.
But it would help our cause if Mr. Rogers thinks I am an actress instead of, shall we say, an interpretive dancer.
It would more or less save the day, Julie.
Mr. Anthony, you may consider me an actress. Hello?
Well, hello.
Do I have the pleasure of addressing Mr. Rogers?
Yes'm. And it's my pleasure, Miss...
Miss Julia Langtry of the Legitimate Theater.
Oh, well. Won't you sit down, Miss Langtry?
Don't mind if I do.
You're with a new review?
You might say I'm one of the new faces, Mr. Rogers.
Well, you've certainly got a fine old theatrical name. I suppose you're a direct descendant of Lily Langtry.
Ever so direct.
Any relative of the Jersey Lily just about has to have the theater in their blood, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would. I would indeed. My, yes, the Jersey Lily. Oh, all of us Langtrees are from Jersey, you know. Some in Newark, some in Jersey City. We're from all over Jersey.
Lily Langtree was from the Isle of Jersey.
You don't say.
That's an English channel.
Oh, we Langtrees get around. Jersey City, the Isle of Jersey. Who cares? It's all Jersey.
Oh, well, we settled that, didn't we?
Beautifully. You know, Mr. Rogers, I can tell you're a man who's interested in the legitimate theater.
You can tell that?
Just by looking. You look very legitimate, Mr. Rogers. And on you, it looks good.
Thanks very much.
I thought, well, we could have a nice talk, theatrically speaking. You could tell me what legitimate theaters you liked, and I could tell you about my various roles.
Well, now, let me see. Of course, I haven't seen a lot of plays since I moved here, but, well, I remember The Corn is Green. I like that very much.
One of my favorites. I played it many times.
You did? The Ethel Barrymore role?
Who else?
Well, I'd sure like to have seen you in it. Oh, another one I liked was The Little Foxes.
Isn't that a coincidence? I was one of them.
I don't suppose you were in Born Yesterday by any chance.
Oh, that old thing, no. No, they wanted me, but I told them I wasn't right for the part.
Mm-hmm.
We legitimate actresses have to be very careful, Mr. Rogers. The wrong part could ruin us.
I've got an idea. You usually play the part that's right for your talents.
Indeed I do, Mr. Rogers. Do you mind if I direct our conversation to a more personal level?
Not at all. We've just about exhausted the legitimate theater.
You're cute.
Well, now, you're pretty cute yourself.
Thank you, I'm sure. And I don't mind telling you, Mr. Rogers, that when I get through a long tour with a show, I'd like nothing better than to settle down in some peaceful little spot like your Deliria. And I do mean legitimately.
By George, Will, I believe every seat in the house is taken except ours. Let's go on down, shall we?
I might just as well stay back here, Doc. I've got a hunch nobody's going to be seated very long.
Oh, are you still singing that same old chorus?
Now, who do you think is going to faint first? The women's club in a body or the Presbyterian circle?
Son, I'm out for an evening of enjoyment. I don't expect a single fainting spell. You've been a wet blanket on this enterprise from the very first, and I, for one, don't want to hear any more about it. Now, come on down to your seat.
Listen, if I'm wrong, I'll be down later.
Oh, all right. I suppose you're going to Redder and Gate Farrell's after theater party.
I'll tell you what a wet blanket I am. I don't even think there's going to be an after theater party.
Oh, doggone it, Will. I'm going down to my seat before you spoil my whole evening.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And welcome to the new review. We hope you enjoy our little effort this evening. But now, before the curtain goes up on our first number, here it is. Your very last chance before the show. My assistants are about to pass among you with boxes of those delicious chocolate candies with nuts inside. And don't forget, with each and every purchase of this delicious chocolate candy with the nuts inside, a chance on our very special offer, a genuine gold watch. Have your money ready, gents. Buy the little lady a memento of the evening, and at the same time win a chance on a genuine gold watch. The greatest little bargain has ever been your good fortune to encounter. Oh, just keep your seat, folks. My assistants will find you, and while they make their way to you, let's have some music for our 3D girls. That's 3D for three dimension. Ha, ha, ha. But don't worry, folks. You won't need any special glasses to get their dimensions. Here we go.
All right.
Why didn't you force me to approve that show?
I couldn't, Gate. I sort of thought I tried, though.
Well, this whole thing's your fault. If you'd demanded it, I'd have had to pass on it. And we'd all have been spared this humiliation.
Retta giving you a bad time?
She won't even speak to me. To tell the truth, that's sort of a relief. The thing is, Will, we could have stopped it before it started. All those church circles selling tickets and the women's club.
I asked you if you thought the girls would go for burlesque, remember?
No, you weren't very convincing, Will. Or I'd have listened to you.
Gate, you're a dad-blame fool. I've been snubbed by half of O'Leary all week long because they thought I was trying to keep Flint from opening his theater. The other half, which includes you, couldn't find enough words to tell me what a preposterous idea it was and how it couldn't happen. Well, it happened, and good.
I can't believe it. Oh, I know I'm wrong. I can't really blame you. And I don't. Nobody blames you.
Oh, who cares about blame now? Flint's a broken old man, and the women of the town won't catch their breath till spring. I'm real sorry for Flint, though.
So am I. How are you going to handle it in the Gazette, Will?
Nothing happened, as far as the paper's concerned. Can't very well print that 1,000 Illyrians showed up at the Princess last night at 8:30 and that by 8:45 the theater was empty. Sounds like a riddle.
Well, for one thing, a thing like this could only happen once. It's hard on Flint, I know. But this is one catastrophe that won't hit Illyria again.
Excuse me, Gate.
Yes.
Illyria Weekly Gazette.
I want to speak to the editor, Mr. Rogers.
You're talking to him.
Oh, fine. Look, Rogers, I'm Jim Sutton in the city. I'm a booking agent for shows.
You picked a real bad time to call, Mr. Sutton.
Look, I tried to reach Flint Stocker all morning, but he doesn't answer.
I don't think he's likely to either. Flint's had a pretty bad shock.
I heard a little of what happened. But here's what I want to know. Is it true that 1,000 people bought tickets for that show last night?
That's right. The theater was sold out.
That's amazing, isn't it?
You'd have to go for a stronger word than amazing, Mr. Sutton.
I had no idea that Illyria was any kind of a show town. Old Flint's tried to tell me for years, but I wouldn't believe him. Will you do this for me, Mr. Rogers? Will you get a hold of Flint and tell him to call me?
Sure, I'll tell him. Don't be surprised if he doesn't call, though.
Well, he should. Because of that turnout last night, I can book shows in your town from now on. And I'm talking about real shows.
No songs, dances, funny things?
Real good road company shows. Legitimate stuff. You tell Flint to call me. Oh, and I'll give you a tip, Rogers.
What's that?
Well, you folks up there ought to protect yourselves. Maybe get a city ordinance that gives the council a right to pass on all the shows that come there.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mr. Sutton. That sounds like a real good idea.
You have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Parley Bear as Doc Clemens and Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Our story was written by Kathleen Height and produced and transcribed by Norman MacDonald. Featured in the cast were Edgar Berrier, Michael Ann Barrett, John Daner, Paul Dubov, and James Eagles. The special music for Rogers of the Gazette was composed by Rene Garrigank and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tomorrow night, fearing he is becoming a campus cornball, CBS Radio's Professor Ray McNutley, played by Ray Milland, throws a lively house party for select students. It's a success until the unexpected arrival of the college director. For laughs and nothing else, meet Mr. McNutley tomorrow night on most of these same stations. Also tomorrow night, don't miss Elena Verdugo in Meet Millie, 30 Minutes of Merriment, with an alter-minded lass and her slightly mad mama. Roy Rowan speaking. Everybody loves Junior Man's Thursday nights on the CBS Radio Network.